Well, I have to say thank you to all of you for your welcome. Your hospitality has been tremendous this morning. I read through my bio that's in the bulletin this morning. I always like to read my bio because I learn new things about me. Just kidding. Most of what's in there is true. So thank you again for your hospitality. Thank you for giving Gray and Joel and I this opportunity to come and to share with you over these last week and this week and next week to come. Gray, Joel, and I enjoy getting together and talking theology with each other, and we hopefully you enjoy it as well. And so we're looking forward to these next couple weeks. You know, as I was reflecting on this scripture passage for this morning, this story, it began to think about parents. And I began to think about how one of the great joys, one of the great privileges of being a parent is that you get to torment your kids, right? I mean, that should be a privilege that we have as parents. Now, I mean torment your kids in the lighthearted kind of way, not in the binding them up and putting them on an altar them kind of way. We'll get to that in just a minute or two. But here's what I mean by tormenting our kids. I have wonderful kids, two kids, and every once in a while when we go out for dinner, they let me pick where we go for dinner. And so inevitably, when it's my choice to pick where we go for dinner, they will say, "Well, Dad, where are we going to go?" Well, I don't often answer that question. Instead, I tell them it's going to be a surprise because I think kids like surprises, right? We like surprises, except my kids don't like surprises. They really just want to know where we're going to go for dinner. And truth be told, I've only chosen two different restaurants in all the times that I've ever been asked where we're going to go for dinner. So you'd figure that they would know where we're going to go, and yet they still aren't satisfied with that. It's a surprise. And so they'll oftentimes keep on asking, Dad, tell us where we're going to go. And it's become kind of a little bit of a joke in our house. And so I will turn to them and look at them and just simply respond, "You'll know when we get there." And they roll their eyes as only a 12 and 13-year-old can do and play along with their dad one more time. I imagine that when Isaac and Abraham began that journey, Isaac turned to his father Abraham and said, "Dad, where are we going?" And I imagine Abraham turned and said to Isaac, "Isaac, you'll know when we get there." Well, last week, Joel Esala was here, and he began this unpacking of this powerful story that we find in Genesis chapter 22. Here I am today, and today we're going to take a different look at this scripture passage. We're going to take a look at this scripture passage that carries with it some varied names to it. Sometimes this story is called the command to sacrifice Isaac, or sometimes it's called the binding of Isaac, or sometimes it's called the God's testing of Abraham. But here's the thing, I don't often like these titles that are given to the biblical stories that we have. And the reason I don't often like these titles is because sometimes they can give us some preconceived notions about what these stories are about, preconceived notions that maybe are not quite true or right about what these stories are about. And so this morning, I'm going to propose a different title for us. And I'll be telling this story from the perspective of Isaac. And so my title goes along with that theme. The title I'm going to propose for us is Isaac's Telling of the Journey. And that's how we're going to look at the story for this morning. What would it have been like to be Isaac? What would the story be like? How would Isaac have told this story? And so I invite you to read along in your pew Bibles to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. But I'll give you a warning. that the words that I'll be reading are not what you're going to find in your Bible, but again, instead, looking at it from this perspective of Isaac. You should be able to follow along in your Bibles as I'm reading along this morning. But let's all listen for God's word to us today. It was early in the morning when Father Abraham woke me up. And he said to me, "Get dressed and get ready, for we need to take a journey today." Father Abraham told me to stay quiet so as not to wake Mother Sarah, who was sleeping nearby. It was a long journey, 3 days altogether, but finally we arrived at the mountain. It was all very similar to how these journeys had gone in the past. The helpers would stay back with the donkey while Father Abraham and I went up the mountain to worship and to offer a sacrifice. Father Abraham loaded the wood for the sacrifice on my back, and he carried the fire and the knife. After we had traveled up the mountain a bit, I realized we had forgotten something. Something was missing. Father Abraham was getting older. Maybe he had just forgotten. I wondered whether I should say something or not. But finally I asked, "Father Abraham," and he replied, "Here I am." I continued on, "I think we have forgotten something. We have the wood and we have the fire, but we do not have the animal for the sacrifice." Father Abraham replied without any hesitation, "Father God will provide the lamb for our sacrifice today." And so we journeyed on, climbing the mountain until Father Abraham stopped. He always had a way of knowing where it was that Father God wanted us to worship him. I admired the relationship that my Father Abraham had with my Father God. I hoped and prayed that I too would learn to have that same kind of relationship with my Father God. And so we began to build the altar in that place. We gathered the stones and then placed the wood. But then Father Abraham did something that he had never done before. Father Abraham bound me and placed me on the altar. Yes, I was scared. Yes, I was not fully sure of what was happening. Yes, I thought about trying to get away. But I trusted my Father Abraham. I trusted my Father God. I closed my eyes, and in that moment, we heard it. The voice of God, the sound of a ram. I opened my eyes to see a ram caught in the bush nearby. Thank you, Father God, for providing. I always enjoyed the long talks I shared with Father Abraham, and you could imagine it was quite a conversation we had on the way down the mountain that day. "Isaac," Father Abraham called. "Yes, Father Abraham," I replied. "I am proud of you," Father Abraham said. "You see, Father God was testing me today, testing my obedience, testing my faith, testing my willingness to not withhold anything from him. But Father God was also testing you. You, Isaac, were obedient, faithful, willing to not withhold anything from Father God." I was silent for a little while, and then I replied, "I know that Father God will always provide. You have taught that to me, Father Abraham, and I have experienced that from Father God." This was a difficult test, but Father God provided. Father God always provides when we say to him, "Here I am." You know, there's a lot that we do not know about Isaac. Here's what we do know about Isaac. We know that Isaac is old enough to take this journey with his father. We know that Isaac is strong enough to carry the wood that would have been needed for this sacrifice. We also know that Isaac is smart enough to know that you need an animal for a sacrifice like this. And Isaac doesn't do much talking in this story, does he? But what Isaac does talk, when Isaac does talk, it's important. The words that Isaac speaks in this story invites his father Abraham to speak of his faith and of his trust that God will provide. It may seem that Isaac is in a supporting kind of role in this story, a B-list character in the story. But I want to propose for us this morning something quite different, quite the opposite, in fact, that Isaac is the central character in this story. You see, when we look back at the history and the story of Abraham and God and Abraham and Sarah and God, Isaac represents the promised gift from God, the promised child that God promised to Abraham and Sarah. And Isaac also represents the subject of God's testing of Abraham. The story hinges on Isaac. The story hinges on this promised gift from God. The story hinges on Isaac being the one through whom God will test Abraham. Without Isaac, God has no way of testing Abraham's obedience and faithfulness and willingness to not withhold anything from him. The story hinges on Isaac and also on Isaac's willingness to say and to display to Father Abraham and to Father God, "Here I am." Because it's Isaac who agrees to go on this journey. It was Isaac who was obedient to carry the wood. It was Isaac who was faithful to allow his father Abraham to place him on that altar. It was Isaac who was willing to withhold nothing from God. By Isaac's words and his actions, he was willing to display and to say, "Here I am." Surely, Isaac is old enough at this stage in his life to fight back against his father Abraham. Surely, Isaac could have protested against this plan from Father God. We're good at fighting back against God, aren't we? We're good at protesting against God's plans, aren't we? We're oftentimes willing to give some of our time to God, but don't ask too much of us, God. We're willing to serve God when it's convenient for us, but not oftentimes when it makes us uncomfortable or challenges us. We're willing to sacrifice a little for God, but don't ask us to sacrifice too much, God. We're willing to follow God, but only if we can choose the path that God has for us. We're willing to pray, but only if God gives us everything that we pray for. But Isaac displays for us something much different than that, a much different posture, if you will. A posture of obedience, a posture of faithfulness, a posture of being willing to not withhold anything from God. And here's what Isaac discovers when he's willing to not withhold anything from God. God doesn't withhold anything from him. When Isaac gives his full self to God, God gives God's full self to Isaac. How our lives would be different if we would give our full selves to God so that we could receive God's fullness in our lives. And that's been God's desire for our lives all along, to fully live the lives that God has created us to live. Jesus' words, "I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly." But we can only do that when we live lives of obedience and of faithfulness and of not withholding anything from God. We can only live in this fullness of life that God has for us when we say and also display, "Here I am." Isaac received that fullness of life. God provided, and God continues to provide today. You know, the story of Isaac has many parallels to another story that we read in the Bible, the story of Jesus. For Jesus, just like Isaac, would often go early in the morning up the mountain to worship his Father God. Jesus, just like Isaac that day, would carry the wood, the wooden cross for his sacrifice. Jesus, just like Isaac that day, would one day find himself bound to the altar, bound to the cross. The difference would be, of course, that there was no ram caught in the bush to take Jesus' place. Jesus would say and display, "Here I am." And while Father God spared Father Abraham's son, Father God would provide new life through his own son's life. God would once again provide. For all who say, "Here I am, I desire to follow you, God," God provides. God provides a new life with new opportunities and new possibilities, new fullness that we can only experience as we withhold nothing of our lives from God. And so, are we willing to say, "Here I am"? I can tell you it will not always be easy. It will be costly sometimes. You will be stretched and called to do things that you never thought that you could do. Are you willing to display, "Here I am"? It's true that actions speak louder than words. Isaac displayed his obedience, his faithfulness, his willingness to not withhold anything from God. And we are invited to do the same in our lives as we seek to follow Jesus. Remember Isaac's words as he came down the mountain with his father Abraham that day. "I was silent for a little while, and then I replied, 'I know that Father God will always provide. You have taught that to me, Father Abraham, and I have experienced that from Father God.' This was a difficult test, but Father God provided. Father God always provides when we say to him, 'Here I am.'" May we all have the courage to say, "Here I am." May we all have the courage to live lives of obedience and faithfulness, not withholding anything from God, so we can experience the fullness of what God has for us. Amen.